Well, good morning again, level 13. And can I just say how awesome it is to finally be able to say that? It is incredible to be with you. We're just blown away by everything that you've done, all the work and the energy and the support, the sweat, the tears, just everything that you've done to make us feel welcomed and to get us here. This has just been such an incredible journey for us, and we're blown away by everything that you've done. As we continue to unpack boxes, we are finding more and more little surprises that were left by different people all throughout the house and different things that we come across, and even gotten some things in the mail, some handed to us. We had my homeschool loving wife was over the moon excited to be handed a Costco membership and to receive in the mail a membership to Science Central and to the zoo. So she just like, okay, these are my people. And so you are her people. So thank you for that. You have spoken her love language, and it is incredible. We're incredibly excited to be here. But I'm also excited about this brand new series that we're kicking off this morning called God With Us. This series is going to take us over the next 4 weeks leading up to Christmas Eve, that service, that Sunday morning. And we're going to look at this passage in the Jewish scriptures that are in the Old Testament, that make up our Old Testament, that kind of make a remarkable claim. The claim is, no matter where we are, God is with us. No matter where we find ourselves, He is there with us. Next week, we're going to discover that God is with us in the fire. Week 3, we're going to discover that God is with us on the mountaintop. And then week 4, Christmas Eve morning, we're going to discover that God is with us now. So here's what I want to encourage everyone to do. If it's your first time here or this is where you call home, I want to encourage you to invite people to be here. Family, friends, people who serve you at restaurants, complete strangers, you know, your enemies, whoever, bring people here. We want to see what God does through this series over the next 4 weeks, because I believe it's going to be life-changing. Now, this morning, we're going to start off by exploring this idea that God is with us in the chaos. We can look around at our world, and we can see that we live in a world that is characterized by chaos. And where we're going to go this morning, I want to give a little bit of historical context, so bear with me for just a minute. God's people, the children of Israel, found their roots in a guy named Abram. Abram received a promise from God that he would be the father of many nations. And over the course of time, that began to happen. And he had a son who had children, and the nation of Israel was born. And they found themselves a massive group of people in bondage in Egypt. And for 400 years, they suffered in slavery. And God sent a deliverer named Moses who set them free, who led them out of Egyptian bondage, and they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And then a guy named Joshua takes over, and he leads them on into the promised land. And for many years, they found themselves working together as a great group, a great body. But then as time happened, different kings rose to power, and Israel decided they were not going to work together anymore, and they split. And you had Israel to the north, and you had Judah to the south. So this is what we're going to pick up this morning. Judah to the south is led by a king called Ahaz. King Ahaz is not what you would necessarily consider a godly king. He was in the habit of marrying pagan women, people who were outside the faith, worshiping idols. He wasn't really a godly man. And he had this giant fear. His fear was that Israel, who had formed a coalition with Syria, was going to come in and overtake him and overthrow him, and he was going to lose his power. That was his greatest fear in life. God sent a man named Isaiah, who was more than just a man. He was a prophet. He was someone who spoke God's word to God's people. He said, I want you to go and meet Ahaz and tell him that the thing that he fears the most isn't going to happen. That thing, that one thing that he's most afraid of, that's not going to take place. Israel and Syria are not going to invade him. And when we hear that, that's pretty good news. And he doesn't even just leave it there. He doesn't just say, hey, this is not going to happen. He says, I want you to test me in this. So ask for any sign you want to ask for. Any sign that will prove to you that what I say is going to come to pass. Ask for it. And Ahaz, you know, I know I'm not the godliest guy, but I'm not going to test God. I don't think that's a very wise thing to do. And Isaiah says, okay, well, God himself will provide a sign for you. And in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, here's what he says. He says, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And when we hear that part of the story, man, that's awesome. God is with us. And it would just make sense for us to think that everything worked out well for King Ahaz and Judah from that point on. But isn't it true in the world that we live, when we hear Emmanuel, when we hear God with us, we don't exactly feel that. I mean, we live in a world that's characterized by chaos. And the question that we ask a lot of time is, God, where are you? God, what's going on? If you're with us, where are you? The world that you and I find ourselves living in the midst of is known for abuse, sexual assault, racism, hunger, poverty, hatred, disease, death. God, where are you? We want to lean into this idea that God is with us, but when we look around, it doesn't feel much like he is. And for Judah and King Ahaz, this promise from God had to be good news. It had to mean that everything was going to be great for them as well. Or at least that's how we would assume. But if we continue to read the story, we find out that that's not exactly what happened. In fact, three verses from this promise that God is going to be with you, that the thing that you fear the most isn't going to happen, three verses later, Isaiah makes this statement in verse 17. He says, the Lord will bring things upon you, your nation and your family, unlike anything since Israel broke away from Judah. He will bring the king of Assyria upon you. Ultimately, what Isaiah was saying to King Ahaz was, the thing you fear the most isn't going to happen, but get ready. It's about to get ugly. It's going to get real. And it's going to get real really quickly. Now, within 65 to 70 years, the coalition between Israel and Syria no longer existed. But the Assyrians forced King Ahaz to become a vassal, to pay tribute, to keep some form of independence. When King Ahaz died, his son Hezekiah assumes the throne. And Hezekiah gets this bright idea, I'm not going to continue to pay this outrageous tribute that the king of Assyria wants me to pay. I'm going to break away from him. And so he called up his buddies in Egypt and he says, hey, let's work together and let's get rid of this coalition and let's get rid of this tribute that I have to pay in Assyria. And ultimately that failed miserably. And Hezekiah had to pay even more tribute. And over the next 700 years, from the time that Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14 was written, was prophesied, 700 years, the nation of Judah found themselves ultimately captured by Babylon, taken away as captives. This promised land, this land that they had longed for, this dream, this vision, this promise to Abram seemed to be gone. And their world seemed to be made up of chaos. Everywhere they looked. Chances are, every one of those men and women who made up Judah knew the prophecy. They knew that God said, I'm going to be with you. But they didn't really feel like God was with them. Instead, the feeling that they had more often than not was, God, have you forgotten about us? Sometimes we have those same feelings today. If God was with us, Emmanuel, our world would look a little bit better. We don't really feel like he's with us. But what we have to understand is this truth. Our feelings about the present do not change the promise of his presence with us. What we feel about our current circumstances and situation does not alter the truth that he is there. Even when we feel it, even when our hearts are saying, God, are you there? We must push against that idea. It doesn't change God's truth. God's truth is he is with us. There's this really cool story in the Jewish scriptures in our Old Testament that I think kind of explains this even a little bit better. The guy Abram, we talked about earlier, received a promise. He said, you're going to become a great nation. You'll be the father of many nations. He and his wife Sarai were older, and they didn't have any children. In fact, Sarai was barren. Her name eventually changed to Sarah. And so she gets this idea. She says, you know, I'm not getting any younger, and it doesn't seem like God's going to give me any children, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you my servant Hagar, and she can become your wife, and maybe I can have a baby through her. And when we hear that story in 2017, we're disgusted, right? I mean, that's just wrong. But in the culture and the day when this was taking place, that wasn't only a cultural norm. It was actually culturally common. If a woman couldn't have a child, she would have a surrogate. It just looks differently in 2017 than it did back then. And so Hagar eventually does become pregnant. And what should have been the most joyful, the most exciting, the most just amazing time of her life quickly turned to the most chaotic moment that she had ever known to that point. Because Sarai, the moment she hears that Hagar is pregnant, she begins to treat her harshly and she begins to push her away. She just can't stand the sight of her. She hates her. To the point that Hagar runs away. And in her running, she finds herself alone in this area, except she isn't alone. She has an encounter with the angel of the Lord, which many times in the Old Testament is a picture of Jesus. It's what we call a Christophany. Jesus showing up before his birth in the New Testament. She has this exchange with Jesus in a place where she felt all alone, where chaos was the rule of her life. She experienced this encounter with Jesus, and he asked her, what are you doing? Where are you going? She said, well, I'm running away because I'm being treated poorly. He's like, no, go home. And then God did something incredible. He revealed his nature. He revealed part of his character to her that no one else had ever seen or known before. And she makes this statement about him in Genesis chapter 16, verse 13. She says this, you are the God who sees me. In the moment when she felt the most chaotic, in the moment where she seemed as if God had forgotten her, that she was all alone, that there was no way that her life was going to get any better, she says, you're the God who sees me. And not only are you the God who sees me, but you are the God who is with me in this place. See, when chaos is surrounding us, God isn't missing. He isn't missing in the chaotic moments. He's with us in the midst of them. And I would be as bold as to say that it's in those chaotic moments that his presence is even more of a reality. We go back to Isaiah chapter 43. He makes this statement. This is in the Message paraphrase. He says this, "When you're in over your head, I'll be there with you. When you're in rough waters, you will not go down. When you're between a rock and a hard place, it won't be a dead end." And then in verse 5, he sums it up beautifully. "So don't be afraid. I am with you. I am with you." The voice of God saying, "I am with you." The easy thing for us to do in the world that we live in is to lean into the question, "God, are you there? God, where are you?" But what we must choose to do every single day instead is to lean into the truth that despite my feelings, my God is there. Despite what I feel about this world that's going on around me, despite what my circumstances may dictate, God is there. When I didn't get the news that I was hoping for, he's there. When someone that I love gets hurt, he's there. When I feel all alone, he's there. When my life seems to be falling apart and chaos is the norm, he is there. See, our feelings, they're deceptive. They can't be trusted. More often than not, what we feel is in direct opposition to the truth of God's word. So instead of making decisions and believing what we feel, we've got to lean into what this says. And we can't wait and just get a word from this on Sunday morning. This is something that God has given each of us, that we can have revelation from him every single day. We can read his word. We can know his truth. Because the world that we live in may be chaotic, but what we feel about this world does not change the fact that he is who he says he is, and he is with us. He is with you this morning. No matter what you're walking through, no matter the struggles that you see, like Hagar, he is the God who sees you and who knows you. For those of us who are followers of Jesus in the room this morning, that's an encouraging promise that he's there. Lean into that. Lean into that truth. But maybe if there's someone in the room this morning who doesn't have a relationship with Jesus, maybe you're not so sure about this whole Jesus thing, you're still investigating, you have more questions than answers, but life is really chaotic. There's some chaos, and it would be really cool to have somebody walk with me through that chaos. If there's somebody in the room this morning who, that's you, I want you to know this morning is there's a God in heaven who loves you more than you could ever imagine. So much that he was willing to send his own son to become God with us. There's no secret sauce. There's no special prayer. There's nothing that we have to do that follows a certain rote or routine. It's simply believing Jesus is who he says he is. That he is the Son of God. That he was born of a virgin, that he lived a sinless life, that he died a criminal's death on a cross, but he rose 3 days later victorious over death and hell and the grave. He became God with us so that we could be with him. And that doesn't have to wait until we get to heaven. It can start today. just want to give two options this morning. If you're in the room and you need prayer for anything, I want to invite you to come to the front. We're going to have a time of prayer, a closing song in just a few moments. I would love to pray with you. We've got a team here who would love to pray with you. But if you're not quite there yet, if you're not quite sure, in just a moment, I'm going to have everybody stand and I'm going to have everybody bow their heads and close their eyes. And if you're not quite there yet, you're not ready to make a decision to follow Jesus, but you're close or you're not so certain, you have more questions than answers, here's what I want to ask you to do. As I pray, I'm going to pray with my eyes open. If you'll just lift your head and make eye contact with me, I promise you I will not call you out. I will not come get you. But I can promise you this, I will pray for you this week. And our team will pray for you this week. And when you're ready, we're here with open arms to walk with you. As I pray this morning, would you stand? Please, everyone bow your heads, nobody looking around. But if you need prayer, you're welcome to come to the front. I'd love to pray with you. But if you just want to make a decision, say, hey, Pastor Heath, would you pray for me? This week, would you pray for me? Just make eye contact. Maybe slip your hand up and pull it right back down. I'll see you, and I assure you, I'll pray for you this week. Your Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for your mercy and for your grace. God, I'm so thankful that you are with us. God, that today, even though the chaos surrounds us, we are not alone. Thank you, Jesus, that in the midst of the chaotic moments, you are here. Father, I pray if there's one in this room who doesn't know you, that today would be a day that they take a step towards you. That today would be a day where they say, yes, I need you. I want you to be with me. Let today be the first day of eternity for someone. They say yes to Jesus. Father, thank you for coming to our rescue. Thank you for loving us and not leaving us alone. We pray this in the name of Jesus.